don't panic. It's organic. The way that nature intended it. Don't panic.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, and you're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. I got that title I created it myself in 1957, I think it was. I'm thinking 56, 57. I should have gone into the T-shirt business. I would be a millionaire now in my tropical home in Puerto Rico. Today we have some guests. We're going to be having lots and lots of guests coming on. I'm going to be inviting what I call organic professionals throughout various different fields, from farmers to arborists to people who are selling organic products and services. I'm hoping to get a few doctors on. One of my shows is called The Body and the Garden. I mean, you'd be surprised at the amazing similarities between the two. Today's guests are Frank and Noel from TPSL Labs. They're out of Edinburgh, Texas. And we're going to be going over a book that they use as their Bible, and they, of course, make it available to their customers. It's called Ask. That's one of the words I always have a problem with. As a kid, I always had that problem. Ask the Plant. Soil fertility, plant analysis, and crop nutrition. It's done by Chuck Waters and another person named S. Pierre Chandler. I was fortunate enough to know Chuck Waters. He's a good friend of mine. He was a good friend of mine. I think he died in 2009. He published my first book, How to Heal the Earth in Your Spare Time, way back, I don't remember now. It could have been in 2000, something like that. No, it wasn't 2000. 1970, so it's somewhere in the 70s, okay? Yeah, 2000, yeah. It just shows you I get older, it's gone. He published a publication, he did then, as a matter of fact. It's called Acres USA, and I mention it a lot because it's really an amazing publication. It's being run by his son now, Fred Waters, acresusa.com. Okay, go up there, check it out. It's done by farmers, organic farmers, professionals. So you'd be surprised at the resources that are available there. That's where I get these guys' names, and these guys are also one of my favorite labs that I sent my soil to be tested or whatever else I need in terms of lab work. I do a lot of microbial testing on soils. Also, I do testing on plants if they have a disease. So a tree would have a disease, they take a sample, send it to the lab, they'll tell me what type of disease it is. And so today we're going to be talking to them. What I'm going to do is, there's no way I can talk about this whole book in one sitting. So I'm getting them to come back a few more times. We can go through each chapter at a time. So what we're going to do today is we're basically going to go over the first chapter. A few things on the first chapter, and then we talk about what they're doing. I'm trying to get them to come on as a regular. I like to get a lot of different folks to come on as a regular, not just once, but to come on a regular basis, talk about what they're doing, pass along their knowledge to you guys. At the same time, you know that you can always call me and talk to me. I'm an organic consultant, a natural arborist. I've been doing this for a long, long time, so I'm really good at growing things, whatever it is. And I was just talking to the engineers here, and I didn't realize I could do two shows. I would love to do two shows because, there's so much information and stuff that needs to go out and so many different ways to do it. And what I love is being able to talk to you. So, for example, if you're listening to the show now, you're probably getting it either directly by listening to it or you're getting it through other podcasts. So I shouldn't be explaining to you how to to listen to the show. It's one of those catch-22s, right? but if you're one of my members, for example, and you're getting the podcast and you actually want to hear the show live, because you can actually listen in on it live, or you can actually call in. Okay, so if you get the urge to call in, there's a couple of numbers you can call. I think the 800 number is an easy one. It's 888-627-6008. Okay. There's also a direct line. I assume the direct line means if you're closer, somewhere nearby, and that's 323-744-4831. And then I guess there are numbers you can listen to. You always go to their website, BBS Radio. In my case, it's bbsradio.com/ Don't panic, it's organic. You'll see it at Station 1. That's what's going on right now. You can actually click on the listen button, and I'm assuming that if you go up with your iPhone, your little cell phone, click on the listen button, you can listen to it too. It also says to listen by phone only. So if you're at home and you don't use a computer, which means you're probably getting this podcast down into your little iPhone or whatever, you can always call. There's a number that you can just listen to. There are several different ways you can get it. You can, of course, get it through the podcast. Now, I have a Don't Panic, It's Organic podcast that I've been doing since the early 70s, since 84, 85, 86, well, maybe like 89, because the internet wasn't really going until at least 90. So you can either get the podcast through the bbsradio.com, click on the podcast, you get mine, or if you happen to be on my website, invisiblegardener.com, you click on radio show and podcast, there's a podcast, Don't Panic, It's Organic podcast. It shows you. It gives you different options that you can get the podcast. You can get it through your iTunes, you can get it in email, or your Android phone, or any other device. There are lots of different ways that people listen to stuff, okay? 99% of my audience has been up until now people download it on the podcast. And that's one reason why I'm on this station is I want to get live audience. I want to be able to tap into people who call me like right now. You see what I mean? So I'm having a guest coming on in about 5 or 4 minutes. We're going to be talking for about a half hour. If you hear something that they're saying that you want to make a comment on, you should feel free to call in. If you have a question that has nothing to do with them, just wait until after they're done, right? Then you can call in. I'm happy to talk to your questions. I got a really cool, you can talk to me. You don't have to be on the air. You just do what most people do is they send me email, right? So I got a really cool question from a lady in England. And it has to do with horses, her horse being bit by horseflies. And so, I actually wrote a whole blog on it. And so when we're done here with the show, with a guest, and if nobody calls, I'll answer her email. Because that's what one way you can talk to me, will help you. Send me email, andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. Make sure you put bbsradio.com on it or whatever other method you're listening to because my show is rebroadcasted in a lot of different places. Members get it one place. There's up on iTunes. There's a couple other different places that it gets put out on. So you should listen. Tell me where you're listening to from. If you happen to be in one of those stations that rebroadcast it, because I'm doing a lot of rebroadcasting these days, just tell me where you're at, why in the world you're at, and I will answer your question for you. And it's also good that you send me email, because then I'll have your email address and I can sell it for a lot of money. No, but that brings me another question before the guest calls. It's basically, I've been having a contest giving away membership and so forth, for about a year now. Well, it turns out that my website has been having a technical difficulty for pretty much a year now. And it could have been, usually it's my fault because I go in the back end and I do things like this contest. I set up a contest so people can click on a link and it takes you to a place. You want, enter your password that I give you, and it takes you to where you sign up as a free lifetime member. You don't have to pay. Well, I must have missed something in there, or something else is not wrong, because you would get a confirmation email. Is this you? Somebody trying to join, is this you? You hit confirmation email, yeah, it's you. Then you'll get a newsletter. You get an email back that says, this is your password, and then an email telling you basically what you can do, how you can get, how you can access the podcast, right, how you can go to the members page. I got 22 books, and they're free for members. Members get a special podcast. That podcast gets everything I do. So this show they're going to get. I have another radio show called What's in Your Garden. They're going to get that one. I have another radio show that's an audiobook special. They're going to get that one. I have another radio show called Inner Gardening. That's my music. They're going to get that one. See? And you don't have to do anything. You get it from there. But, you don't have to join if you don't want to. You just get the free Don't Panic, It's Organic one. You just get that one particular one. You guys are really lucking out because this show, normally the public one I do once a month, but because I do this show every week, I'm also posting it up there so you can get it. It's part of my free weekly show now. See? Okay, so now that I got you completely confused, pretty soon, and my clock is probably 2 minutes off, you know, so I told him to call. Oh, the engineer is going to call him. That's my God voice in there, you know. And we have all kinds of interesting things coming up because I'm interviewing a lot of interesting people. I have a lot of famous friends. I'll try to get them on because, you know, we do a lot of environmental alert. I'm really into the environment. We're going to be doing a lot of issues and talking about the environment. That's one reason why I get these guys to come on, because it's soil. You don't believe how important the soil is. And people are not paying attention to it, so we need to bring them to pay attention to the soil. With this whole climate crisis, you don't understand. People don't understand the damage that's being done to the soil, and part of that, the consequences of that is the climate changes. People don't seem to. They think that it's the cars that are causing the carbon monoxide, you know, and it is to some extent, but it's not exactly. Did you know that you know the way we're talking about carbon in the air, so that you know we. Hopefully you understand that carbon throughout the centuries have been taken out and put away. See, that's why it's in the ground. Okay, and there are different ways that happens. The soil is one of them. Okay, the soil takes in carbon and puts it away in the process of creating minerals and stuff for the plants. Because I talk a lot about the living soil. One of my shows is called It's Alive. I go, it's alive, 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 alive. It's all about the soil. It's all about mycelium, the living organism that takes the everything breaks down and it breaks it down into a form that then gives it to the plant. The mycelium is the oldest gardener. It's actually the beginning of the life chain and the end of life of the life chain of life. We think we're at the top of the food chain. We're not, because mycelium is growing us, and when we die, it eats us. It's the food, so it takes good care of us. See, and the trees, the same thing. And the insects, I've been talking a lot over the past, I don't know, 20 or 30 or 40 years, 50 years, I don't know. I started as a kid, okay, in the sixth grade I started talking about stuff. By the ninth grade I was already giving talks in terms of gardening, in terms of what's really the cause. In the sixth grade I got a call from a person. Well, I started in the sixth grade, but in the ninth grade I had 150 customers. Basically, you know, I didn't go every month to them. Some of them would be yearly, some would be quarterly. You know, I found I could do at least literally 25 people a week, just five of them a day. Basically, doing all the same thing I'm doing now. It's like you go there and you go, hi, hi, hi. You bless them and you move on. I could, like a magic wand, because I basically learned the value of compost. Right off the bat, because I got sent off to Cuba, Havana, so on my dad's side, or Puerto Rico, which would be San Juan. On my mom's side, through the summertime, because I lived in New York City, and being part of the Cuban one side and Puerto Rican the other side, and the Americans on one side, I would fight them all. So they would send me away for the summertime for my safety. But I really loved it because they all basically lived in a farm. So on the farm, you learn how do you make compost, how to recycle everything, how to use everything. So I grew up under those circumstances, and our backyard, my home, had tomatoes, roses, all kinds of stuff. People would come over and say, "How come? What's going on over here?" So that's how I got customers, and I didn't have a name, Invisible Gardener. I didn't get it until 1970. When I got out of the service, I started going to University of Florida during the day, and I gardened at night. And so, but I got the name because I did gardening at night, and I made what's called instant vegetable gardens to raise beds for people overnight, including having it ready with plants and everything and the vegetables and all that stuff. And at night is one of the best times to really work, especially under the light of full moon. I did a lot of lunar gardening. I understand the cycles of the moon. I studied biodynamics. I studied all those things, permaculture. I was actually talking about permaculture before I even heard of permaculture. It's just a matter of being a good marketer, and you come up with a good name, and you develop, and you market it really well, and get it out to the public. So I've been doing this radio show myself here. I was actually did a radio show on Armed Forces Radio, and then 68 and 69, in 70, I got out, I started doing radio show the normal way. You go to the studio and you do your show there. I've been doing that for a long time, up until about, I think, let's see, maybe 2000, somewhere around in there, maybe a little bit before that, 2000 probably, I think it's about right, not sure. I switched over from going to the brick and mortar studios to doing it at home. And my first attempt, I'll tell you, it's interesting, is that my computer, I had the first type of internet connection. It was basically a bulletin board system. It's called BBS. People would phone in. And so I had called Galacta Board, which had basically eight different phone lines, which I would pay for separate different phone lines. People would call in different numbers, but it would plug them all in together. We could all talk to each other. They could do things. It was really cool. So that was my first attempt at communicating with people and talking to them and getting this going, because I've been doing this for a long time. But when the internet came along, and with the availability of people having their own website, it developed invisiblegardener.com. Makes it real easy for me to talk to en masse to people. What I prefer to do right now, for example, like I'm doing the show, I would rather have the show live through my internet connection, right on my website. You go to the website, and ideally what I'm working on, and I don't know if the engineers can do it here later, but maybe it can evolve to that, is to have it where you actually see me as like a video thing, where they can see me and talk to me while we do the show at the same time, right? That would be really cool. And other people can see me, and I can maybe see them. I don't know. We'll have to work on that one. But I'm actually working on my EcoCat, which is another thing I do, but I'm going to hopefully do a virtual EcoCat. So those of you that know me know that I've been doing this a long time. I have over 22 books. My latest book is called Don't Panic, It's Organic. And that one I had printed out at the beginning of this year in this 5x6, I think it's a 6x9 format. It's nice, a small little format is nice. I didn't like it. So I stopped, I said, hold the press. I stopped it. I'm having an editor go over it again for me, and we're making it a larger format, 8.5x11. I like that better. Right now I'm working on going over it again. Every time I go over it, I may fix one mistake, but I generate a few more mistakes. So I hired somebody to come and just do that for me. Make sure everything's perfect, 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 so it will come out. And the thing about bringing out a gardening book, you don't want to bring out a gardening book in wintertime. So another month or so, January be wintertime. And so I'm going to wait until the spring for it to come out. But what I'm doing with this one is different than all the other books I've done, is that I'm going to like pre-press it. So I'm printing it, and then people are going to read it and give me a comment as to what is going on, any errors, how I can make it better, and then reprint it again, because that's what we could do on demand. I heard a click, but I don't hear anybody. So maybe something's happening. You never know. By now, I should have a Mr. Engineer. Hello?
Hello, Andy?
Yeah, shouldn't my guests have called by now? Or you talked? Didn't you call them?
This is Noel Garcia.
Oh, hi, Noel. I'm talking here, and I'm listening. What happened to my guest?
I finally made it.
Hey, Frank's not answering the phone. I hope everything's fine. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
So I was just talking and talking because, I've been doing radio shows in the 70s, and I'd rather just not talk to myself. I could do that anytime, I could just sit down and talk to myself. It's fine, but I really do this so I can talk to you guys and talk to people and answer people's questions, So I hope Frank is okay. Probably someplace where he can't call. I did want him to call too, for the two of you guys to call, but I think he's letting you do it. Did you know Chuck Waters?
Yes, I met him several times.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good for you. He was a good friend of mine. He published my first book.
Okay.
And then I met Fred when he was younger.
Did you ever get to meet my mentor, Kate Chandler?
I am not certain because,
okay.
You know,
okay.
I do know the person, as I get older, I have to look at myself and I go, who the heck are you? I do know Malcolm Beck. I met Malcolm Beck. I may have met Chandler at one of the either Acres USA conferences or another workshop.
Okay.
You know, as part of the group, you know. But I was I love the book, by the way. You know, as I was telling Frank, I said, why don't you just have the plant come on? Let me interview the plant. Right?
Well, yeah. Well,
you should just make like your plant. Hi, I'm a cabbage or a citrus or what? And it's just, wouldn't that be cool? And then I could talk to you and see what's going on. Get in the scoop. You know, right?
Yeah.
This book is a great book. I think I ran across it before because, you know, Acres USA is one of my favorite publications. That's how I met. I call him Chucky. He didn't like it.
Yeah.
He finally gave up on it. Let me call him Chucky, you know. I teased him a lot. But Acres USA has always been an excellent source for me to tap into the current knowledge base, you know. And it's the same thing with what I tell people now. I said, you know, I'm trying to tell. See, this whole my show and everything is geared for the homeowner, right?
Okay.
I know you guys are farmers. You're geared to farmers, but homeowners have the same. They have soil they have to deal with. You know, same thing. You know, and there's some homeowners here who have big citrus groves. Okay, big giant stuff. You know, not only citrus grove, but you know. Grapes in Malibu, major stuff, right? And over in Ohio, major stuff. And eventually I want to talk to you about that, too, because there's one of them has a citrus grove, you know, now, and they, you know that they have to spray for certain bugs now, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Right. And so if you're organic, they allow you to do it a certain way, organically, right?
Exactly.
So what's happening is that these sprayers, the people who are doing the chemical spraying, they're being told by these owners, well, you have to spray this organically, right? And so they say, oh, sure, no problem. We can spray because they're spraying a particular product that's called Pyganic. It's a liquid pyrithium product, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But they still are not getting the real problem. It's really amazing to me that they don't even deal with the soil.
It's a band-aid effect. They're not treating the root of the problem.
Yeah, it's a real mess. And I want to talk to you more about that at another show because, like I was telling people, look, the book, we could do a chapter a month really easily, right? You know,
exactly.
Like right now, it'd be very difficult to get the first chapter all in and cover it within this short period of time. You know what I mean? And most people don't know what we're talking about, okay? Most people are listening and going, this person is really out there, right? Because, you know, to try to explain people stuff on a certain level, it gets to be very confusing, you know, as it is, you know. So what I try to do is make it really, really simple for them. Well, before we do anything, is your TPS being top soils?
Come again, Eddie?
The TPSL, right? I know the L means labs. Does the TPS mean topsoil?
No, it doesn't, but that's a great idea. I can start using that one if you don't mind.
No, well, so what is it, Texas?
No, it's actually the initials for Texas Plant and Soil Lab.
Okay, Texas Plant and Soil Lab, right. I'm looking at it because I didn't see it written down anywhere where it was. I'm going, it must be topsoil. Because it's a clever way of writing topsoil. As a matter of fact, top TPSL is topsoil. It's a short for topsoil.
We're rebranding since we work all over the world, and we notice that when we attend shows and they see Texas, they think we're a regional lab, so they kind of shy away from us. So that's why we sort of went to the initials and you started using TPS Lab, sort of rebrand the deal, you know.
Yeah, like KFC.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, so one of the things that I've always done, even as a kid, and to me, that was my ear, is that I believe in having your soil tested at least once when you first start. Like when I go do a house call or something, I believe in having the soil tested because, see, I learned from experience what's going on in the soil, but people like to read lab reports, right? And
exactly.
It would clearly say, well, you're deficient in a bunch of different stuff. And also, too, not only that, but do you guys do microbial testing?
Yes and no. We run what we call the Solvita test, and it's sort of like a microbial test, bioassay, where you know that microbes give off CO2, and that's how active soil is. So we can test the evolution of CO2 coming off the soil that dictates whether you got a active microbial population or not.
Okay, so you don't actually determine which microbes are there. You should determine if it's active, and it according to the carbon.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Cool.
Yes.
Cool. So what I do is I send it. I have a couple of labs that I send off to for a specific readout as to what those microbes are, and especially when it comes to diseases. You know, you want to know what specific diseases are. But most people is way beyond them to get a list of all these strange microbial names. You go, okay, that's fine. Oh, look. Like Glutinus maximus is missing, right? And you go, you know, it doesn't really help at all. But the idea is the same, is that you want the soil to be microbially active, alive, and that's a basis for really everything. What, you know, you don't really know who I am or anything, but I've been writing for, how old are you, man? You sound like a
I'm
young
46.
Dude.
I'm 46.
46? Ah, I remember when I was 46. yeah. Sorry, I can't help it. I'm 68, you know. But I've been, you know, I do a variety of different. I have over 20 books, and I do different columns, and it always comes back. I consider myself a natural arborist. Okay.
Okay.
And I deal with the soil. I deal with the health of the soil. If the soil's not healthy, the tree is not going to be healthy. And there's nothing you can do to the tree that's not going to make, you know, chemically wise or inject it with this or spray another chemical to it or, you know, because I do foliar applications. And that's one of the things that covers, actually covered in the first chapter here, which is called the plant speak out. Before I get carried away, I really like what Chandler said about sign language of the plants. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. In fact, that's one of the main questions. I remember, probably about 10 years ago, I was sitting across the Gilliman. He asked me, "Well, you know, what do you call it?" Asked the plant. You know, plants don't talk. I said, "Well, yes, they do. You just don't know how to interpret it, and they speak sign language." You know, and that's from the different chlorotic instances that they have, and so forth. You know.
Yeah.
That's
sure. It's all. It's all a visual. Yeah. It's definitely a visual. One of the things that I did early on in my youth, well, I use a refractometer, okay? So a refractometer is one of those things that you can, you know, people, I try to explain to them about the Brix levels and stuff like that, and I studied Brix on the plants, when I was the president of Rose Society, the Brix on the roses, on the lawn. It's all the same principle. You start to understand the different levels the plants need for different plants. But the refractometer breaks it up into different minerals, you see, and I learned that insects, because you remember the secrets of the soil?
Yes, I do.
Right, and so they wrote another one, the Secret Life of Plants, right?
Okay.
Remember that one?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay,
yes.
Right. So it comes back to the soil and minerals and trace minerals. That's what it's really all about. And insects have they're kind of like built-in refractometers. They can tell when the plant is deficient in trace minerals. Lots of different ways. Probably the sign language that the plant is giving the insects know too. So when the insects and the plants are stressed out, the insects are very efficient at that. They're understanding that the plant is stressed out is food for them, right?
Exactly. It's survival of the fittest. They go after the weakest. And
yeah,
it's too much stress.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, you have to be a scientist to figure out how the whole system is working, you know. It's really, it's kind of weird. And we, you know, us humans, we decided to, you know, go down this chemical route of providing, chemical fertilizers, avoiding the actual way that the process happens in the soil. And that causes problems. to me, that's a big problem right there.
Oh, it is. It's a huge problem. And, you know, I work with both fuel organic growers and I work with conventional growers and sustainable growers.
Yeah, I was
going to
ask you about that, right.
Yeah, so, you know, when I work with conventional growers, I always try to bring them to the other side and start incorporating sustainable organic practices. Yeah, and then they sometimes they really don't realize that until they, you know, they see the benefits of it. And then, man, they don't realize, they think they're still conventional, but they're actually sustainable.
Yeah, and you said the magic word, because I was going to say sustainability, you know. And,
exactly.
And that, to me, has always been a key factor. And people know, farmers don't understand, because they're saying, you know, we're going to survive if it's not done the conventional way. Organic farmers cannot feed everybody. When it's really the opposite, because, you know, there was these tests. I know you're probably familiar with it, but there's, you know, they're doing all kinds of tests and everything, and they say studies, right? And they say, well, there's a study that came out that proved that, you know, there's no difference between conventional farming and organic farming. There are many different. One major, major difference is sustainability. You have a conventional farmer, and I tell people, well, grow for 10 years. Let's do a conventional farmer for 10 years and a real organic farmer for 10 years. And tell me that there's no difference, because that organic farmer will produce more and more and more every year with less and less and less. Whereas that conventional farmer will have to use more and more chemical destroys it. So soon he has to move to another piece of land because that land won't do anything after a while. How is that sustainable? Exactly. How is that good?
Exactly.
Sorry,
that's why they
got
to rotate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I was talking a little bit earlier about carbon sequestration. How do you say sequestration? I have a hard time with it.
Yeah, sequestration. Uh-huh.
Yeah, right, that's a tough one for me. but carbon, and people don't understand that the loss of the topsoil, the Earth's topsoil, cars and humans in your cars, the carbon dioxide is 40% of the carbon dioxide in the air is produced by humans and planes and stuff. But they don't realize that the loss of the topsoil is one major cause of carbon dioxide going back in the air. The same thing with the ocean. The ocean takes in carbon dioxide. You screw that up, it can't not only hold it, but it gives it off again. And they don't get that. That's a major amount as the damage of our topsoil. But that's the thing, you know, by now you can tell I'm really into the topsoil, right? I'm really into bringing that back, because if we don't have that, with all the diseases the trees are getting, right? You name the bark beetle, you name the disease, the pest, it all comes back down to trace mineral deficiency, and which comes back down to the soil, right?
Exactly, that's key. And that's the problem, you know. The farmers, just they love what we call recreational tillage. And every time they run that implement, they're burning off all that carbon, that organic matter. Now, you know, 50 years ago, we across the country, we had very high organic matter levels, you know, 3-5%.
Now, very little, yeah.
They're less than 1%. And
yeah, and that's totally ridiculous. And where do you think that carbon went to, right?
Exactly.
That's actually ridiculous. And I don't know what else to do other than keep doing what I'm doing in terms of educating the public. I don't know if you can actually educate farmers, because that's what you guys are doing. Basically, you're helping a farmer. All a farmer wants to do is grow. And they're good old boys. They're good people. They're not evil people. But if you give them a way to grow really well without the chemicals, without polluting themselves, and helping the environment at the same time, they would love it. You know?
Oh,
and it costs less.
We encounter them every year.
More.
Exactly. You know, we encounter those type of farmers every year. You know, they're 5 years away from losing the family farm because they're not sustainable. You know, they keep doing the same thing. Wrong things every year, where we come in more sustainable approach, where we're bringing biologicals, you know, beneficial soil bacteria. We bring carbon back in there, organic matter, and then we balance the nutrition, especially trace elements. And you mentioned that several times. Those trace elements are key, you know. Unfortunately,
yeah.
And synthetic fertilizers, there are limited amounts of micronutrients or these trace elements. But
yeah.
In compost and organic, I mean, you've got a lot of these micronutrients are highly beneficial that on the long run will help you sort of keep all the disease at bay.
Yeah, exactly right. And what's interesting too is, and this is the key here, is that property owners, same thing, they should be sustainability. The idea of the plant dies take it out and put another one in. It's not a very good sustainable model. A lot of landscapers and gardeners, that's what they do. The plant's not doing well, pull it up. I would say, well, maybe, you know, here in Malibu, for example, we do not have any topsoil. They're not growing in any topsoil. It's like a subsoil beneath there because there ain't nothing up here. Like if you try to grow in a desert, you might as well grow what grows in the desert. But if you want to grow things that normally don't grow in the desert, you better bring some topsoil. And every place that I go to, there's no topsoil. I says, well, the one, and then they water.
Exactly. Hello? You know, and that's the problem, you know. And I work with a lot of landscape architects, a lot of nurseries as well.
Yeah.
And they just love burying stuff, you know. I mean, and they it dies, they go back and replant. It dies, they replant. Oh, third time, you know what, we better ask for a soil test. Well, you know, you should avoid all that. Start off with a soil test. Bring in a good foundation before you plant.
Right. I tell people, you know, that's why, you know, when I do go see a customer, right, the first time I do it, I just walk around. And the plants tell me everything. The plants say, the insects, the ants. When the ants, I tell people, you know, your ants are wearing shorts and sunglasses. I think maybe you're watering too much, okay? The ants are walking around with shorts and sunglasses. We're crying out loud. I mean, one lady was paying $3,000 a month to have a pest control company come and spray for wildflies. Do you think that pest control company would have told the lady, maybe if you don't water so much, it might help? Or maybe if you took better care of your plant? No, they would come and spray anyway. To give you a perfect example of what they did, the lady hired me, right, so there was not a single white fly on the place. They came and sprayed anyway. The sprayer, the guy should have said, everything's fine. No, but they needed the money, they sprayed anyway. And I said, oh, and it's a chemical that I don't want to come anywhere near. But you get the point. He liked the spraying on a regular basis because, you know, she was spending $3,000 a month on the water bill, too.
Exactly.
And the gardeners have never, ever applied compost, ever, or a nice mulch, or anything alive to the things. If things died, they would take it out. The soil smelled bad. I'm going, that smells toxic. Does that smell good to you? And then they stick it back in. They didn't even bother amending what they put in. And I've been there for about 4 years now. If you go to my website, you'll see a little spot of it. And they still have the tendency to overwater. I said, just give me the timer key, right? So you can't get near the timer, right?
Exactly. You know, that's the first thing I ask when I approach homeowners as well, and we modify the program. You know, soil needs to breathe. You know, anaerobic conditions are bad.
Yeah, yeah, and it kills all the living microorganisms that are supposed to be there to help you. You don't have to be a genius to figure out. Maybe you need to understand a little bit or something, right?
Exactly.
And the same thing with citrus. I was at a customer's house just a few days ago, Monday. So, and the gardeners are like, oh, here he comes again. And so I'm looking at these seven citrus she's got there, right? And I'm looking at it. Five of them were not watered at all. Nothing. And the other two were being overwatered. And I'm going, geez, what part of, you know, because I was telling them, they're overwatering the citrus. They're overwatering the citrus because they put them on a slope with drip systems all around them and the sprinkler things, and they're getting watered every day. Every day. And so they went from that to not watering them at all, and two of them were still getting overwatered. And I'm going to do a contest, overwatered, underwater, with a question mark, to see if people can figure it out, because those five plants were dying from no water. The soil was hard as a rock. I was like, no water gut was getting it. I said, what part of this don't you get? Then I looked at the other one, and you can tell the other one had different symptoms. There's a certain symptoms when a plant's dying from lack of water as opposed to being overwatered. Duh. Right?
Exactly. Yeah, and it happens, you know. And that's one of the major problems I see when I go into homeowner situations, you know. It's just lack of water or too much water, you know. And that's where
you think
the
gardeners would know something.
Yeah. But unfortunately, that's where we've got to educate the public about these approaches, you know. And sometimes it just takes more than one person to talk about this. And I'm glad you're that type of a radio host that can talk about that and bring it down to the layman's terms, you know.
Well, what I want to do is I want to have you, because you're obviously the genius scientist guy at their lab, to come on some kind of regular basis, once a month is fine with me, and talk about whatever you want to talk about. We can talk about this book. This book is a wonderful book. And I don't think it's beyond average gardener's, you know, concentration, other than, of course, if you're a Spanish person. You can't read English. A lot of English people can't read English either, you know, because it has a lot of sections on, you know, planet analysis guide, talks about symptoms and, you know, stuff like that. Again, you look at a planet, it pretty much tells you what's going on, right? If it was happy, same thing with the fruit that it produces, you know. You know if you have a happy plant or not, you know. So I want to educate the gardeners. I can't get gardeners to listen to my show to save me. I told the owners, pay the gardener to listen to the show. And I wrote a book in Spanish, too, to try to get it across to them. I haven't given up, but I figured, well, they're average persons, average people are homeowners. They're trying to do the best they can for a garden. You know, they're trying to understand why this disease is spreading. I'll give you an interesting something that happened the other day. So this lady, I write her a column, so that she emailed me, she said, I like your column, I have a citrus. The citrus is not doing very well, so the next door neighbor came over, dumped some urea underneath it. The citrus, bright green and beautiful now. Oh, and it's covered with whiteflies. And so she said, how come that? I had made compost, and I was giving her organic fertilizer, and nothing was happening. So I told her, look, I said, in her compost frost, I said, how do you make your compost? She didn't use any rock dust because there's no minerals in it, and she didn't use any kind of animal manure, so there was no microbe. It was totally dead stuff that she got from the kitchen, and it was making not compost, it was something else she was making and putting it down because it had nothing in there that the plants would go for. And so the soil was dead. You know, if you use organic fertilizers, it works really well. If the soil is working, if the soil is not working, organic fertilizer is not going to happen. The urea goes in whether you like it or not. That's why chemicals tend to, on the surface, work, chemical fertilizer, because they give it that boost, but it causes a lot of stress and a lot of problems. That's why you have the whitefly. Because high nitrogen, in my opinion, inhibits the plant's ability to absorb minerals. Okay? So you can use high nitrogen or water. That's why organic fertilizer, you don't find anything really super high nitrogen. But listen, before I get carried away, because, like I said, think about coming on. We'll call you once a month, have you on. And I like to cover a chapter or some information pertaining to the book, like soil, for example, a soil test, you know, how we go about doing a soil test and how often should people do a soil test. And the other thing is I want to explain to people how we test the plants themselves and what are we testing for, how do you go about doing that. Because a lot of people can test them themselves and they just don't know how to do it. I use a refractometer myself all the time. I have four different refractometers here. We can talk about that. I brought bricks. You do bricks and refractometer stuff?
Exactly, yeah. We do cool. The bricks test as well.
Cool. So we want to explain to people, you know, how that works and why it works on a citrus and it will work on a rose or a lawn or a tree, because they all have the same problem. And nowadays, we need to get to them because they're going to be losing their properties with the climate change now going from one drop period to it. But we're going to have a rainy California here, you're going to see, right? And people have been planting natives all over the place, so they're going to have a problem when it gets really wet, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, and there's a problem with one tree, with palms, you name the problem. And the professionals are not getting it. I talked to University of Southern California. They have over 10,000 different kinds of trees. They're all getting attacked by one borer or another, right? So I had a little meeting with them. I went over and says, you know, tell me what you're doing, and I'll tell you what the problem is. So right off the bat, I said, they're being really clever. They didn't tell me that, but they're basically, I found out for myself before I went there. So what they're doing is, you know, they have a big campus, right? So they have big lawns. So they use chemical fertilizers on the lawn. So they recycle the water, which is full of high nitrogen, and they feed the trees with that. They water the trees with that. So what else do you think? What do you think would happen if you did that to your tree?
You know, that's the issue with having all that high nitrogen. It's like a beacon in the night. You're just asking for it, and that's where you attract these insects and all these disease issues.
Right, exactly right. And these guys, what they're spending money on, what people are, is millions of dollars to develop more chemicals, pesticides that will attack the bug. Or we're developing millions of dollars for some wasp to come and attack the bug. again, you know, the law of cause and effect. It ain't going to happen if you're not dealing with why the problem is in the first place. Not that, and I told them that. They didn't really appreciate that.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
you know, they have a perfect way. They have a perfect extent. They have a testing ground right there. They say, okay, let's take this 100 trees and this section over there, and let's just switch over our way how we take care of them, and let's see how they compare to these other trees. Duh. Right?
Yes. Unfortunately, that's the norm, you know, in research. You know, it's what's the latest and greatest with the newest pesticides, herbicides, or fungicides.
It's absolutely,
you know?
It's absolutely ridiculous. In Ventura, you know, it's a major citrus growing place, right? And
exactly.
A research center there. And they're now studying compost. They're spending $40 million to study compost. Give me the $40 million, I'll tell you what you want to know. And they're surrounded by, you know, chemically grown fields of citrus. And the ones around them are looking fine, except for the citrus that's on the research, because they don't want to use any chemicals, but they don't know how to keep the citrus happy either. And so they're the ones that have the diseases and the greening disease, you name it. And it's just funny and sad.
Yeah. That happens in Florida, too. I work with one of the biggest organic citrus growers over there, and
yeah.
He sees the same thing. You know, his orchards are nice and clean, no HLB coming in, but the conventional guys, they're losing their farms, you know, their
yeah.
orchards.
I'm a Florida boy myself, so I was there during the greening disease episode, and I tried to help him out because make a long story short, a guy lived in South Florida. He had 15 acres of citrus. Different kinds of citrus. You know how they passed the law, first 500 feet, they would be cut down if you had disease. Then it expanded to 1,500 feet if you had the disease, right?
Exactly.
This guy had no problemo whatsoever, nothing. So they went there at night and cut down his plants. You would think, I would say, well, let's look at these things and what is he doing? You know what he was doing? Compost tea. That's what he was spraying, highly mineralized, bacterialized compost tea.
Well, that's one of the best things you can use in creating this more natural habitat, you know, and prevent some
yeah.
of these vectors from coming in and infecting your trees using
yeah,
long,
and it
got a good foundation.
Yeah. Yeah, and it didn't touch them at all, and they came in and cut them at night. One night went up there, next morning they were all cut down.
Wow.
And the Department of Agriculture deemed that these had to be cut down because there were some plants close to them, you know, within 1,500 feet.
Mm-hmm.
They jumped a fence and cut it down. And they were totally healthy. No sign of them whatsoever. And we can keep talking about this because many samples all over the place. In Europe, olive, ancient olive groves, right? They were grown organically for centuries because there was nothing else they could grow them with, right? Last 50 years, they started doing chemically except for about 10%. And guess what? They have this bug that's now spreading to kill them all, spreading from one to the other. And guess who don't have it? And guess who are the first one that they cut down? The organic ones. They didn't have any problems with it, but they cut them down because they weren't using. They had to be sprayed. They refused to spray the chemicals that they were told they had to do to cut. It's kind of like backwards, right?
Exactly. Wow.
So listen, how do people get off? You know, visit your site or whatever. What site is it? Is it TPSLAB.com?
Yeah, TPSLAB.com. Or, you know, you've been talking about Ask the Plant. AskThePlant.com as well.
Cool. Can they get the book for you guys?
Yes, they can go to Acres USA. They're the ones that published it for us, so you can get it at AcresUSA.com as well.
Okay, and listen, one of the things I want to do is, my new book is coming out, Don't Panic, It's Organic, but I would like to get you as a complimentary member to my website, because then you can access all my other books. And then, you know, I'd love to do more with you guys, because I want to send people to a good soil lab. So here, you know, these people will take care of you. And you promote organics, and I understand, you know, you have to do the regular thing, because the normal people out there, but the show is called Don't Panic, It's Organic, so we like to go really down that path. But, you know, I don't mind talking. I don't put down other people. Like I said, these are good people. We just need to help them to get off the... It's a drug, right? It's a drug. You get hooked on it, and you just can't stop, right?
Exactly. Well, Andy, you know, we're the oldest testing laboratory in the state of Texas. We've been in business for 80 years. So
1938, right?
Yeah, exactly. We've been organic before it was cool, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's why I went to you guys first, because I've known about you as long as I've been reading Acres USA, okay? And I love your advertising in terms of soil fertility and plant nutrition. That's what it's really all about. Spud School? What is Spud School?
Oh, that's real fast. Of course. That's a real quick. We're going to be having that in January in Idaho before the Idaho Potato Conference. And that's strictly for spud growers, but it'll relate to anybody. Well, we go more details as far as what ask the plant approach means to spuds in that area.
Okay, so excellent. So see, I want, so if you, oh yeah, even if you just came on for 5 minutes, this is what we're doing. Like you're going to be at the Acres USA conference coming up in Ohio on December 6th, right?
Exactly. I'll be a speaker again. Generally, every year I've been a speaker, and I talk about how to eliminate stress and how to prevent a lot of these insect pressures, and that's for another show. But we're in a few labs to talk about silicon to help with insect pressure, but that's for another show, I think.
Yeah, excellent. So I used to go, but I can't go on a plane anymore. I'm an ex-military that I have an ear problem. I can't go up on the plane. I had a shrapnel taken out of my inner ear not too long ago. They said, "Nope, you can't go on a plane anymore." And I'm not driving anywhere. So, anyway, pleasure to talk to you. I look forward to having you on again. Okay.
Oh, that sounds great. Thanks for having us, Andy. I really
take
appreciate
care.
It.
See you. Make sure Frank's all right.
I will. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye now.
Okay, everybody, so you've been listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. Remember, if you want to talk to me, you're welcome to email me at andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. That's the name of the website, invisiblegardener.com. Check it out. If you want to become a member, you know, you want to enter the contest, you can send me an email, but what I'll do is I'll hang on to it until these tech guys fix the problem. Because what's the point of telling you, here, you won and then it doesn't work? If you feel like you want to give me money and join, don't do that either, because the same problem is not entirely working right. So I'll let you know when it's working right. For now, you can go up there and listen to my music, read my blog. I've been writing a blog for many years. You can feel free to buy any of my ebooks. They're available for immediate download. As a matter of fact, I have Don't Panic, It's Organic in an ebook form now. It's up to version 102, so I update the versions regularly so you can download that. $20. It all goes into my expensive wife. No, just kidding. Four wife. No, just kidding. Stop it. This guy can't stop. So I'll be back again next Saturday. Every Saturday I hope to be here unless the Earth ends, and then even then I might be doing it from my spaceship. And I might be doing some more stuff. We'll see what's happening. The engineer will tell me when it's time to cut off. I think I got about 2 more minutes left. Okay, so I lied. I have 1 minute left. So stop by my website, invisiblegardener.com, or stop by bbsradio.com/don't panic. It's organic. It tells you about the show there. So if you want to be as a guest, send me an email. If you want to be on as a guest, either you have a question or you have a product or service we think we should talk about, or cool organic book, send me an email. Go to the website, hit the inquiry button. Fill out the form there and send it to me. That still works. So thank you very much. And you should be hearing my little Jeffy. He's my musician. He wrote a song for me. I'm working on getting the computer system fixed so that I can start playing some of my music and do the show from this end, because I write music and stuff and check out the music. I do music all the time. I'm up on SoundCloud, Invisible Gardener, right? I'm all over the place. So just type Invisible Gardener Google and it tells you a lot more about me than I really want you to know. I don't know how to delete all that stuff. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to my show. I think my time is like almost up. There it is. I think I hear something. I don't know if I don't hear the, don't panic, it's organic. So take care now.
Attention, guards. How would you like to learn how to get rid of unwanted pests like ants and mosquitoes without using harmful pesticides? With the growing concern about West Nile virus, killer bees, and the use of synthetic pesticides, there is a better way. Go to www.invisiblegardener.com. Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener, provides alternatives to chemical products using natural ingredients you may already have at home. Do you have gardening questions or problems? Get the help you need at www.invisiblegardener.com. Join the Invisible Gardeners of America and take their online gardening classes. The Invisible Gardener has helped gardeners since 1972, and he can help you too. Visit www.invisiblegardener.com. You can talk directly to him about your gardening questions right here on The Invisible Gardener every Saturday morning, and you can reach Andy Lopez, The Invisible Gardener, anytime at www.invisiblegardener.com. Check it out on the website. That's www.invisiblegardener.com. www.invisiblegardener.com.
Hi, this is Andy. Make sure you go to Invisible Gardener. That's GARDENER.com. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. See you next Saturday.